The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Saturday.
10 minutes after 8, Captain Bill Simpson is going to join me here. We also have open phone time back after about 8:30, 8:35, somewhere in there. We'll also have a Diner 62 quiz we can win, and you can win, not me. I'm going to, you know, give it out, but we'll have conversation about this. And it has to do with a president that President Trump ended up kind of smacking upside the head the other day, because President Trump ended up repealing an executive order that LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, back in the 1960s, had put in place. Had to do with how you hire people in the federal government. So we'll talk about that. We have actually a question involving LBJ today. So that'll be a lot of fun, okay? A lot of fun. Now then, in spite of the fact that I'm very pleased President Trump is in, working a lot on making the economy great again or better, you know, those sort of things, the one thing we do have to keep in mind is that it has, in spite of all this, the world is still experiencing a lot of tumult, economic fluctuations, uncertainty, volatility in the stock market, and there is still a need to look for a store of value, a store of wealth for the long term. And gold long been regarded as a safe haven. And we know about that. And that's why I always talk about our friends at J. Austin & Company Gold and Silver Buyers, where if you're going to buy or trade gold and silver and other precious items, they're the recognized experts to go to. 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland and 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. And one of the things that that Mark and Andrea and the crew there, they're good to know. You get to know them because just the conversations you'll have inside the shop are great. But one of the advantages of physical gold doesn't get talked about a lot is the privacy. Unlike stocks or bonds, and those are held in electronic form, seizable by the government, lookable at, all the sorts of things. You own physical precious metals. It allows you to maintain some control over this. You can store it in a secure location of your choice. And this makes sure that your investments remain private and out of the public eye. Unlike if you end up making it part of a 401k, as an example. This is one of the reasons why Mark and Andrea, and they always talk about having a physical possession and control of it. These are the type of people you need to know. They'll give you the standard line. They'll give you a good line rather than the standard government line that many other gold places are saying. It will help you set up a gold 401k. Yep, that... If a future a government wishes to take that in and give you a little paper promise in reverse, you know, so keep it. I mean, keep it yourself. Keep it under your own control. J. Austin, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. JAustinBrokers.com, FortuneReserve.com.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing.
That's NetSuite.com/Kim. NetSuite.com/...
It's the Bill Myers Show on KMED, Southern Oregon's place to talk.
Quarter after eight, doctor... I would say not doctor, captain. Gave you the wrong title there for a second, Captain Bill. Captain William E. Simpson, Wild Horse Fire Brigade. Always good catching up with you. How you doing today, sir?
Good morning. I'm well, Bill. Thank you.
Okay, maybe we could just call you... could you have a doctorate on horseology? I don't know if there is such a term.
Well, we teach Wild Horse Ecology for Cal State, so I guess we're officially TAs here.
Oh, okay, so, nothing wrong with that.
Assistant. So anyway, yeah,
a lot of noise being made about the wild horse, or at least restoring the herbivory. We've talked about this for many years here. Epic Times had a really interesting article on you the other day, and of course it continues to spread out there. And the LA fires, of course, stimulating the imagination of getting the fuel loads taken down, right? And you're still continuing to talk with people, and they're looking at wild horses and other animals, natural ways to go after a lot of that. What's the status at this moment?
Right, there's a lot of interest in what we're talking about now from SoCal. I got a county supervisor from down there called me, and so they're looking to get testimony from me about the mixed herbivory idea. You know, and a lot of people, like Congressman LaMalfa, does not understand our program at all.
All these years you've been talking to LaMalfa and he still doesn't? Really?
No, he won't talk to me. That's the problem. You know, he thinks he's got all the answers.
Okay, what did you call him? Okay, Captain Bill, what did you call him?
That.
What?
Yeah, I've emailed him. I've called him. In fact, his assistant, Aaron Ryan, walks around telling everybody that wild horses only eat green grass and they can only stand on level ground. I mean, it's just like ridiculous. So anyway, so okay. Aside from that, it's there are people who are willing to learn and find out that, oh, yeah, they are a native species. Oh, yeah, by the way, they eat quite a bit of different stuff that domestic.
Yeah, but there's no way to make money off of it, right? Isn't that the real issue?
Well, you know, right now when you're losing thousands of lives every wildfire season, thousands of people are dying prematurely every year. And now we're talking probably this could be a $1 trillion loss this coming year in wildfires. We're already at $250 billion in the L.A. fire. So this is a big deal. And the other thing is it's really sickening to hear all this focus on forest fires when you do the analysis, the insurance companies, scientists, 66% of all these wildfires are fueled by grass and brush, not by wind, not by climate change. You know, people keep saying, oh, fueled by the wind. Wind doesn't fuel the fire.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, though, these are actual, and I think what you're talking about, though, what gets passed over or glossed over is that these are urban firestorms that are doing this massive amount of damage, right?
Right. Well, 66% of all fires, all wildfires, are grass and brush fuel, okay? Not trees.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the elephant in the room. And by a very large margin, grass and brush fires cause death and homelessness, loss of business, and then the cost. Again, we're probably with wildfires this coming year, 2025, it may eclipse $1 trillion in losses. So we're already at $250 billion just in Los Angeles. So the thing is this. This is a mixed herbivory idea. You need the big guys. You need them horses for, you know, the outside the wooey on the tops of these hills where they can, you know, manage fire breaks and things like that, like we had for the Klamathon fire that helped save the Ashland. I mean, it made Cal Fire's suppression effort more effective. They had a great big, you know, 3,000-acre fire break that, you know, that the horses put in. Boom.
Now, Cal Fire will admit this, that the wild horses ended up helping that fire break up. And now, I remember the Klamathon blaze. That was about 4 or 5 years ago, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is they don't want to talk out of story or out of school with Gavin Newsom.
Oh.
You know, they basically want more money for suppression. More money for fire training, more money. You know, they've got all these shovel-ready jobs. And the thing is prevention, not suppression. Prevention is the tool we need to be putting all the big money into, not after we're bonfire. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when I was, you know, working as a U.S. Merchant Marine officer and a captain, I worked part-time for the Coast Guard. And we'd go onto people's boats and we'd look around. We'd go, you know, your life raft's ineffective here. You're going to have to get a new one and get it inspected. And they complain, oh, you know, that's terrible. You just like make us spend money. And we say, hey, look, you know, you can't imagine every time we go out there and you rescue somebody, when they're in the water dying, they'll give their entire fortune for a life raft. And here,
sure,
you can just spend a few bucks and fix yours. Prevention is everything. And we're overlooking it. We have too many people on the grift, and including government people on the grift.
How so? How do you see government people on the grift when it comes to wildfire? What do you think about that?
Well, they're basically proposing funding solutions that just don't work. I mean, look at Senate Bill, what was it 682 or whatever it is Marsh did up there?
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up because this is something we were talking about. I interviewed Senator Golden about that last week. Senate Bill 762, the wildfire risk map bill, and there's a lot of stuff involved with this. But it's interesting that you bring this up here, that the vast majority of the damage and the problems and the death in the wildfire world is not the wildfire out on the in the rural properties, but it's the urban firestorms. And yet they're all talking about just wildfires by the forests. Isn't that weird?
Right. Is it 66% of all fires are fueled by grass and brush, not
right.
trees.
Not trees.
Not trees. And last year, after all that money you guys spent in Oregon, you had a 1.9 million acres of land burned, incinerated. 1.9. Mm-hmm. Worst year ever. So, I mean, it's like a VW chasing a Porsche here. They're pouring money like crazy. And the reason is it's a failed idea. It's a failed concept. So we have to step back and we go, look, this isn't working. If we're going to chase the Porsche, we need a souped up Corvette or something, and we're going to have to change what we're doing here. So when Los Angeles, what we could do is use a mixed turbo boy, like I was saying. You put the
it could be the goats in the
rural areas, and then in the urban areas and rural areas where you can do livestock, cattle and sheep, hell yeah. You put a lot of those critters all over the place, and then in the deep wilderness, the vacant lands where there's too many wolves and bears and lions, that's where you put the horses, because they can live in those conditions, and they need natural selection that controls, for 2 million years, a controlled population, it maintains genetic vigor. So if we do it correctly with a mixed species herbivore, and we don't try to say we're going to have every blade of grass grazed by cattle like Lamalfa's thinking, that doesn't work. It's not scalable. You cannot scale cattle and sheep across 300 million acres. You cannot scale up prescribed fire on 300 million acres.
That statement right there is the takeaway. You cannot put enough. In fact, I even think Senator Golden halfway agreed with me a little bit. I don't want to put words in his mouth from my talk from him last week. But I said, you can't put enough prescribed fire on these lands to take care of all of. I mean, we have millions upon millions of acres that would need this so-called collaborative fire treatments in there. And what? We're just supposed to endure smoke forever? 365?
Right. And then here's the worst part about trying to use fire, prescribed fire, whatever they want to call it, RX fire, ecocultural fire. They try rebranding it all the time.
Yeah.
UCLA just came out with a study. That smoke is killing people. That smoke in California alone, any smoke like that, is killing 5,000 people prematurely every year in California.
And you know this personally because your late wife died from the wildfire smoke of that particular year. I forget which year she passed, but it was a pretty serious fire year.
Yeah, it was Klamath. It was the Klamath on fire 2019. It was not carbon monoxide. What's happening is because there's prodigious fuel, we have excessive fuel, because the native herbivore has collapsed, and you've got all these government workers out there rounding up the very last herbivores, the last few wild horses that we have. Our deer population in California is down probably 2 million deer. They won't even do a census anymore. It's so embarrassing. Oregon's down 500,000 deer in the last 20 years. At least they still do census. But when you do that math, all those herbivores gone, just the cervids, the deer and the elk, you're talking a couple million animals that were grazing probably 1.5 tons per animal per year. You're talking 3.5 million tons of grass and brush sitting there, okay? And that's why we have 2/3 of all these fires of grass and brush fueled. It's the herbivore, our native herbivore is gone, and the last large herbivores left, you got the BLM and the U.S. Forest out there rounding up our last few lawnmowers. So it's no wonder we're on fire. We've got these people who are ignorant, who are managing for money instead of for the public safety and the interest of the American taxpayer. And this has to end. And like Trump said, he just did that bill on merit. No more government jobs without merit. You have to show merit to hold a government job.
And that would mean also showing a pattern of success. Bill,
merit means accomplishment.
Yeah, Bill, exactly. I'm going to post your latest article here that you sent me this morning from Epic again. And it is it's a wonderful wonderfully well done article, okay, from Epic Times. And people need to understand that we can't burn the forest enough. We're not going to be able to do that. There's not people to do that, nor could we really handle all of that wildfire smoke or even the prescribed burning smoke in our valleys, in our bowls, that kind of thing. And restoring the natural herbivory would be part of this too. And I know that's a longer-term deal, but, yeah, you need nature's lawnmowers out there, and we've been in the process of losing them for a long time. And I agree with you on that.
We have to start somewhere, and the horses are a good beginning, and then the goats and the, like this Palisades fire, people talk about defensible spaces. Well, all you had to do is study the Alameda fire, and you could see, defensible spaces don't work if the landscape is choked with grass and brush. Defensible space is a myth. You need a defensible landscape to win against these grass and brush fires, which are the elephant in the room. Forest fires are not the elephant in the room. They don't kill nearly as many people. They don't cost nearly as much money. you know, the loss of business. I mean, that 10-year period of UCLA looked at, it's $435 billion in economic loss.
How much of this might be also due to the invasive cheatgrass? Could you comment on that? Do you know?
Well, we have a lot of different invasive grasses, and horses eat cheatgrass, by the way. Horses, they eat poison oak, they eat cheatgrass, they eat mistletoe. I mean, there's almost nothing out there they won't eat. Wild horses have an amazing capability for eating all kinds of stuff. Now, domestic horses, yeah, I do agree with what Lamal Fazade said. Yeah, they're very picky because guess what? They're habituated for 6,500 years by humans. They want to be in a barn. They have a little bed. They have a trough. They're going to go look at them. No predators. You know, in fact, over time, their brains have actually gotten smaller. Dr. Julie Murphy on her board reported to me the other day that they've done analysis. What the brains of wild horses are actually bigger than those of a domestic horse.
Yeah, because they have to be. You know, that's kind of funny because that makes me think that, the welfare state's made us stupid, too.
We'll apply it
to humans. Your same theory, okay?
Yeah.
Hey,
AI
Bill.
AI's going to do that.
Hey, Bill, I'm almost out of time here, but I wanted to give you a quick bite here. There's a possibility that you may be part of what could be an Oscar winning film here coming out pretty soon, a documentary.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you. So Horse of Nature, one of our local director producers, Audie Carlisle, who lived in, she has a series called Shasta Stories, and she's got a Facebook page and a website, Shasta Stories. Anyway, she heard about the Klamathon fire and how Hornbrook struggled and what we went through and how the horses helped Cal Fire suppress the fire with, you know, by having these big fire breaks. We used them. We pulled equipment into those fire breaks. I was on the fire line 9 days. I mean, the kids, they had to rotate off, I think, in 36 hours so they don't get sick. I got lung damage from being up there so long. But I was the only one that understood the local knowledge. And so she found out about that fire, and she came up and talked to a lot of people in Hornbrook. She came up and saw the horses, talked to us. So Horse of Nature is the name of this documentary. It's collected 4 awards at the film festivals already. And now it was officially selected for the American Documentary Film Features down there in Palm Springs, which is an Oscar qualifying event. So if it wins there, we would be qualified to move toward the Oscars if we wanted to go in that direction. I guess the entry fees are pretty steep for that thing, but still, that's quite an honor to, you know, be Oscar qualified.
Yeah, to be considered. How can we see that? Is there a way we can view it right now or not?
Yeah, you can see the trailer for the movie Horse of Nature. It's if you Google Siskiyou News. In fact, I can put a link in the comments to the trailer for your audience, and that way you could grab it and pick it up. But you can see the trailer right now because it's being screened at the big film festivals. They don't like it if people put the whole movie out, the whole documentary out.
Okay.
You know, they kind of want to make it exclusive, but we do have the trailer, and there's a variation of that documentary called Wild Ones, where they focus a little bit more on the community and less on the horses. So she did this derivative work, which is actually very successful at the film festival. So we're really proud of Audie. She's a local lady here, a producer, director. She actually now lives in Medford somewhere, and we're really proud of the work she's done to help show the world that we've got neat people in our community here.
Very good. I'm going to get that information up there too, Doc. And it's great having you on, Bill. And we will stay in touch. And I'm hoping that if we can start looking at, and really when you talk about the herbivory and not just the wild horses, but of course that being part of it where appropriate, that's a holistic answer, or at least a part of the toolbox. It's a holistic way of looking at the things rather than fire, better call the firefighter, you know, every time. You know, if we can reduce the fuel level on a natural and, I would say, continuing basis, not just one time. I mean, it's one thing to do a prescribed burn someplace, but the next season it's right back. You know that, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's not scalable. These guys work year-round all the time. They don't sue you. They don't need PERS. They don't need insurance. If they get dead, they take care of themselves. You know, it's an easy thing to do, and it's super cost-effective because the horses are free. We own them. The U.S. citizens own our wild horses.
Yeah, indeed. Captain William E. Simpson, I appreciate your call as always, and you be well. We'll be in touch over at Wild Horse Fire Brigade. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. 770-563-3770-KMED. Captain William E. Simpson, always good to talk with him. Got the 14th annual Wipeout Hunger. I was going through my pantry yesterday, and I was looking here. Okay, do I have any peanut butter? Yeah, I do have peanut butter. Do I have any jelly? Yeah, I do have a little bit of jelly that I can spare with this. Well, Kelly's Automotive Service in Ashland and Grants Pass and Medford are doing this once again. And so I'm going to bring that in because, I got some squeaky windshield wipers. You know how that goes. But all you have to do, though, is bring in 40 ounces or more of peanut butter and 10 ounces or more of jelly. And you just drop by either the Grants Pass or the Medford locations, and they'll put on a pair of new windshield wipers on your car. And you know they're pretty expensive these days. I mean, the days of cheap windshield wipers are done. So, I mean, up to $35 worth of windshield wipers they'll put on your vehicle. And this week, we have Ellie George at HomeQuest Realty, who is matching all the donations of up to $500. So that's going to mean your peanut butter and jelly being doubled, you know, in effectiveness, really, okay? So just do that right now. This is a week to be doing it. It's Wipeout Hunger. They take the peanut butter and the jelly. It's about getting protein in for folks who are suffering from hunger, you know, the hunger and maybe having some financial problems, and it goes to our local food banks, okay? Kelly's Automotive Service and Ellie George with Home Quest Realty, helping make a difference with your help, of course.
If you farm and ranch, there's always an off-season to-do list. 2D.
KMED. It's the Bill Meyer Show on KMED, Southern Oregon's place to talk.
A lot of serious talk this morning. We need a dad joke break. Dad joke breaks, and of course, the dad jokes of the day, sponsored by Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road, in Medford. And if you have a better dad joke than I'm about to tell, which is, why can't you hear a psychiatrist using the bathroom? Because the pee is silent. Okay, there you go. See, that's a dad joke, right? You laugh, you smile a little bit. But anyway, just submit it to twodogsfab.com. Just go online, and maybe we can get this on the show, all right? By the way, Two Dogs Fabrication built their business on custom fabrication. All custom jobs under one roof. It'll save you time and bringing down your costs while building your better trailer exactly the way you want it. And if you have a unique trailer or flatbed in mind, Two Dogs Fab will design and build it for you. Okay, twodogsfab.com. Let me go to Brad. Hello, Brad. You wanted to talk about the BTUs and the LA fires. Go right ahead.
Hey, Bill. Good morning to you.
Sure.
Great
morning.
Great show this morning.
Thank you.
Trivia point, real quick. Some of those native horses on Captain Bill's place are undoubtedly descendants of horses that my grandpa raised. He's right next to my grandpa's horse ranch that he put together back in the 30s and 40s. That had about a 3,000-acre horse ranch right next to where Bill is.
Oh, so, no
little,
kidding.
Little trivia deal. So here's something nobody else is talking about on this man-made global warming deal and the BTU argument in this way. So what's a BTU? It's a British thermal unit.
Mm-hmm.
It's the amount of energy it takes to raise 1 pound of water 1 degree Fahrenheit at sea level. So a pound of water is about a pint, right? So
yeah.
Pint of water, raise it 1 degree, that's 1 BTU. For context, 12,000 BTUs is what we call 1 thermal ton, and your typical through-the-window air conditioner is about a 24,000 BTU unit, you know, give or take, so that gives you some context. So, Bill, imagine in your mind the number of BTUs that are being released during this LA fire, right? In your mind, visualize all of the material that was converted, that the fire converted into energy. Okay, I mean it's.
Yeah, I know. I would imagine it's kind of almost incalculable, or just. We can't even grasp the amount of heat energy released.
So, what's at the heart of the climate change argument? It's anthropomorphic change. In other words, it's something that man is doing that otherwise would not be done that's raising the temperature, correct? That's your
yes.
argument.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you look at temperature averages for that area, I'm going to make a prediction, and I'm pretty sure I'm right. You're going to find that the average air temperature has changed almost exactly zero all the way through this fire. Because and then ask yourself this question: If a release of energy of that magnitude can't even change the environmental temperature in that area at all, how much credibility does any of this climate change argument have?
That's a really interesting statement there. You know, I'm going to have to get Greg Wrightstone on and ask him about that, you know, about that energy release.
But it would seem
that now, of course, we're talking about a one-time event right now or a knockoff. What they're saying, though, is that the release of this energy and the gases contained in it make longer-term changes, which may be more slowly. I think that's how they're doing it. I'm not trying to play the other side of the argument, but I just want to be fair about this. Okay.
Yeah. Right, but the thing is that to make an argument stick, you've got to have enough verifiable data to actually come to a conclusion. And the thing is this: what this fire is proving, and by the way, it's proving the same thing that our forest fires up here prove. Like when we burn up a million acres in a summer, we prove the same thing. About every 2 years, we prove the same thing. Is that when you look at the scale of the number? At the volume of atmosphere that you have to influence to actually affect a change, the numbers are so big that it's really, the argument is just silly.
Okay. Point well taken. Brad, I appreciate you making it. Dave, you wanted to talk about the senior administrative services, which, of course, Trump is trying to take a weed whacker to at the moment. Go ahead.
Right. He wrote an understanding of memorandum. The director of budget and management is to review all of the senior executives that was created during Carter's term. And, you know, they don't get regular pay like regular federal employee gets. They get, you know, much more. And it's made a lot of them millionaires. But what they do...
Is that how Fauci ended up becoming so amazingly wealthy?
He was the senior executive service.
So that's not the standard civil service person that we hear about within the swamp, right?
Right.
Okay.
And, so what he's done is he's ordered a review. He's frozen them out. He's ordered a review on merit-based and aligned with the administration. If they're not, they're going to get fired. Now, there may be difficulties in court over that, but we'll see. Then the National Security Council, he's reorganized it. All the 17 different national security agencies and Homeland Director, he's mitigating their power. They can no longer sit at the National Security Council. It'll be the heads of those it'll be secretaries of state on that. Secretaries of whatever office they have. Because remember, senior executive services are in every agency. And so...
So this could be a deeper clean out, so to speak, than we might first look or most assume, right? All right. Dave, thanks for sharing a bit of that. And I look forward to learning more about this because, like I said, it's like absorbing information through a fire hose right now. Let me go to line three. Hi there. Good morning. Who's this?
Bill, this is Rick in Medford.
Hello, Rick. What's on your mind today?
Your show.
Thank you.
Say, I know you like a laugh now and then, and this is not a bad joke.
Okay.
But, yesterday in Utah, in a place called Peter Sinks, Utah, the temperature was minus 55 below.
Minus 55?
I saw this in Yahoo News. And one of the comments below the article was this: in real cold temperatures, this is something that every man will understand. And it cracked me up. I don't know if you think it's funny or anybody else does, but it cracked me up.
What did the comment say?
The comment said, "In real cold weather, this is something that every man understands." That is, they understand Peter Shrinks.
Oh, I missed that. Thank you for I'm sorry you had to re-explain the joke, okay?
No, I don't mind at all. I'm sometimes not very clear on things.
I appreciate the joke. Can always appreciate the laugh, that's for sure. Let me go to line two. Hi, good morning. Welcome.
Hey, Bill. It's Matt.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm happy, but I'm good. So I'm watching Trump with Ellison and the guy from AI and the banker from SoftBank. And I'm remembering Ellison from an article just a few months ago, this is back in September. The title of the article says, "Omnipresent AI Cameras Will Ensure Good Behavior," says Larry Ellison.
Oh, so Larry Ellison, who wants us to have our super AI via the Trump administration to cure cancer, but it's really about total surveillance instead.
So, Bill, several months ago, I called your show when...
And by the way, if you could back off your phone a little bit, though, I want to make sure it doesn't distort, okay?
Okay. So several months ago, I called your show. And I brought up that Trump sometimes gets he gets infatuated with certain things, and the oligarchs would be one of those things. And I have concerns about that, because when he gets like that, then he can be talked into doing all kinds of things where he's not familiar. He's a real estate guy, not a tech guy.
And he will also look at great wealth and power in business as an indicator of, well, I should be doing what this guy does, right?
Yeah, I think he's quick to, you know, sort of take the bait. But when I see these guys, there's Oracle has gotten huge into the cloud business. Their stock has gone from, this was during COVID, was trading at $40 a share, is now at $180 per share. And it's jumped just in the last few days from 160 to 190. It's pulled back off that this morning after that initial run.
Well, I gave you my suspicion this morning here, Matt, and I wanted to be very careful about this because the tech world doesn't really give a crap about us, other than it being a particular market to be useful or to be surveilled so that the data can be used. But I find it fascinating that they want to sell massive AI under the guise of "we'll cure your cancer." With mRNA.
Well, this is what everybody does on the left, right? They tell you the thing they think you want to hear. I mean, here's a quote from him directly. "Citizens will be on their best behavior because we are constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on." He's talking about using drones, not just for police chase, but for everything. Just the constant monitoring of. And there's another article here, which I...
Well, it's the Chinesification of our society is what the AI tech bros really want, because that's the way kind of China works, where, you know, a bit of wrong think during the pandemic, the so-called pandemic, and the drone is out there yelling at you, "Get inside, citizen," you know, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, you just look at the headline. Obviously, these stories are, you know, they're all going to start to overlap or whatever, but One of the headlines here says, "Larry Ellison explains why Oracle is building so many clouds around." They're building them around the globe because every federal government around the globe wants one of these huge data centers and the drones and all the other technology so they can monitor their citizens.
So just be aware of what you're dealing with, okay? And Stargate might as well have been nicknamed Skynet, just saying, okay?
Good point. And I'll just give Musk a little tip of the cap here, just because he's calling it out, saying they don't have the money to do this. Secondly, at least he was willing to stick his neck out when it was unpopular. These guys are only jumping on now. And Microsoft, as you pointed out this morning, is going to be involved in this with their Azure problem, collecting data that the chat guys can use. So,
yeah. Matt, appreciate the update on that and your insight from the stock bro world, okay? Thanks for the call. We're going to do the Diner 62 Real America quiz coming up here next. 770-5633-770-KMED. Try a crispy chicken sandwich back on the menu here. They used to have grilled chicken sandwiches, but boy, they have that too if you want. But crispy chicken sandwich, it is so good. I've had them 2-3 times. And every time I get one from Diner 62, I'm very pleased. All right, you would too. And they also had that half ham special during the morning show, 11:15 Monday through Friday. All right, 770-5633-770-KMED. If you have not won this in the last 60 days, you can play it next. All right,
one of each. K4VIN 01650.
It is the Diner 62 Real American Quiz on KMED and 99.3 KBXG. We go to Jerry first. Hello, Jerry the Bull. How you been?
Good.
All right, Jerry. It was today, 1973. Former President Lyndon Baines Johnson dies in Johnson City, Texas, 64 years old. Not exactly an old man. But after leaving the White House in 1968, LBJ returned to his beloved home state, Texas, with his wife, Lady Bird Johnson, immersed himself in the activity dearest to him, ranching. Although he was kind of retired, LBJ kept up a busy daily schedule reminiscent of his days in the White House. But the thing is, he was kind of an odd president. His biographer notes that at morning meetings on the ranch, Johnson instructed each hand to make a solemn pledge that you will not go to bed tonight until you are sure every steer has everything he needs. And he would kind of act that way in the White House, too. Each night he found not presidential briefings on his bedside table, but reports that he had ordered on the ranch's daily production of eggs. He'd get kind of like micromanaging. He also tried to micromanage the Vietnam War. Remember that back in the day, Jerry?
Oh, yeah.
So the question for you today, what was LBJ's first job out of college? What did he do for a trade before becoming president? Was he a teacher? Was he a rodeo cowboy? Was he a bookkeeper? Was he a tractor mechanic, or was he a butcher in a grocery store? What did he do? It's one of those five. Oh, we lost Jerry the Bull. Well, I guess I'm going to go to Peggy next. Jerry's call dropped here, Peggy. So, teacher, rodeo cowboy, bookkeeper, tractor mechanic, or grocery store butcher? What happened?
Butcher.
You're going to say butcher. That would be ironic if that was true, right? I could see him. No, it wasn't. Sorry. Yeah, let me go to another Jerry. Hello, Jerry. How are you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
Doing fine. So he wasn't a grocery store butcher, Jerry. Was it a teacher, rodeo cowboy, bookkeeper, or tractor mechanic? What do you say?
Let's do the bookkeeper.
Bookkeeper. That would make sense, right? Is he detail-oriented? No, it wasn't that either, no. Jerry. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
All right. I don't know who's on line four, but it's you. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Bill. It's Phil.
Phil. So it wasn't a bookkeeper, so it's either teacher, rodeo cowboy, or mechanic for a tractor. What do you say?
Well, the one that kind of goes with cows and what have you would be the rodeo cowboy.
Rodeo cowboy. No, I'm sorry. It wasn't that either. Let me go next line. We're getting down to a brass tacks here. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Hello?
Is that me?
Yeah, it's you. Who's this?
Hi, RJ.
All right, RJ. Tractor mechanic or teacher? What did LBJ first do?
Well, it must have been a teacher.
Yes.
You're a winner!
It was a teacher, RJ. Johnson's first career was a teacher. Now, he was miserable, by the way, as, retired, and because he just felt like a big failure. You know, great society didn't work. And then on the day of Nixon's second inaugural celebration, Johnson watched sullenly as Nixon announced the dismantling of the Great Society programs. And the next day that he had achieved the ceasefire in Vietnam, and Johnson wasn't able to do that. And the day after that, while Lady Bird and the daughters were in Austin, Johnson suffers a fatal heart attack at his ranch in Johnson City. So that is the story, all right? So, RJ, hang on. We're going to send you to Diner 62. Good going on that one, okay? We'll have another one in a day or two, maybe even tomorrow. I don't know.
One of each, K4.
And you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
I appreciate you having been here this morning. We have a Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Good show. We always do. We're going to work up some good guests and conversation. Jerry emails Bill at BillMyersShow.com. Jerry the Bull, sorry we missed you on Diner 62 for whatever reason. It says, Bill, Project Stargate. I just heard about it on a YouTube video last night. An AI project with billions invested. Their desire is to use mRNA vaccines to eliminate cancer and potentially other diseases they can detect through a simple blood test. An attempt to alter genes? Is in Florida banning mRNA vaccine for COVID? Good point, Jerry. Yeah, there is a bit of pushback coming on this already. We'll talk tomorrow about it, okay?